This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Good morning, Metroplex. Sean, RJ, and Bobby Budd, our Cowboys insider, live from the Combine in Indianapolis, brought to you by Rhino Shield Ceramic Coating. Never paint your house again. And by Best Buy Windows and Siding. Thank you for being a total. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. We're going to hook you up with Lil Baby tickets coming up at 7:20. We go commercial free with the Expressway with Mike Florio, recapping the biggest story of the Combine so far, the media fight at Starbucks.
I'm stunned this doesn't happen more.
We'll get into it at 7:20 Expressway with the media
not
fight.
Even a Starbucks. A Starbucks at a hotel. Like, let's be like, it's not even a class enough to be a
Is
full
that you
Starbucks.
A little person.
you can see how that happens.
Yeah, we'll talk
You
about
haven't
it
had yet. Your coffee yet. I can absolutely see how that happens.
Okay, you think having the coffee makes you less grouchy?
Oh, 100%.
Or just more hyper?
Don't talk to me before I have coffee. Like, I don't exist. I am not a person.
The National Football League, I think this is the third year they've done this. I love it. I think we all love it. The players have spoken.
The players have spoken. This is fantastic. Mike McCarthy should take this right to his next job interview.
Yep. Along with Quinn Ewers. This is the NFLPA report cards.
Yeah, so they go with treatment of families. They do this for every single team, right? And the survey is taken from August to November. Treatment of families, food and dining area, nutritionist, dietitian, locker room, training staff, training room, weight room, strength coaches, team travel, head coach, and ownership. The Cowboys got a few A's, a few B's, a couple C's. One of the A's was for head coach.
Man.
Head ball coach. Mike McCarthy getting an A grade. Now, to be fair, players are not very picky with their choices. There's a lot of A's.
Dude, we were ordering the drinks last night, and by the time the intricate shot was made, you had gotten done listing all the coaches who got A's throughout the league.
Yeah, so
these players are happy.
Yeah, and look, there's no really correlation between liking your coach or coach getting an A and success or failure. Arizona, A. Atlanta, A+. Carolina, A-. Cincinnati, A. Cowboys, A. I still haven't listed a team that made the playoffs, by the way.
Wow.
Now,
interesting.
Detroit, A+. Green Bay, A-. Houston, A. Colts, A. Chiefs, A+. Raiders, A-. Rams,
Raiders, A-.
Yeah,
A-.
Rams, A. Dolphins, A+. Vikings, A+. Eagles, A-. Steelers, A. Niners, A. Seahawks, A. Titans and Commanders also got A's. Washington got an A+.
So
the lowest grade for a coach is, Cleveland, Chicago, so Stefanski, Eberflus, and Peterson in Jacksonville.
When the players were asked what the Cowboys are currently doing best, the most consistent answer was the leadership of Mike McCarthy and the culture he fostered. The players identify the team's training room as an area for improvement, with players requesting more physical therapists and better treatment methods. Cowboys have the fourth lowest score when it comes to whether players feel like they get an adequate amount of one-on-one treatment time, blah, 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 training room and all that stuff.
So here's what I wonder. Do they say grade your head coach or grade your training staff and then they just give a grade to that? Or is it they ask specific questions and then they average it out to a grade? Because, like, for instance, under the grade for head coach where it says A, it says 97% of Cowboys players feel their head coach, Mike McCarthy, was efficient with their time, which is something we've always heard, is that he regiments or he like staggers their time and doesn't overwork them during the practice week. Players felt that McCarthy was highly receptive to locker room feedback on the team's needs. So when players tell him they want something done, he'll do it, react to it.
Yeah.
Those are things that I think we've heard he did. And so, like, do they just ask him that and say, grade him on this? And if they say those things, does it add up to an A? Like, I just, because I don't think there's any way Antonio Pierce gets an A if you ask the players in the Raiders locker room. They had massive problems with him. And so I wonder if they just asked based on really narrow topics that the NFLPA thought mattered to grading them and then said, well, that's what the grade they get.
Him and Pierce are the only two that got A's that don't have a job.
So the big question here is, does this make you second guess the Cowboys moving on? I already know Bobby's answer because it's McCarthy. My answer is also no. This just makes me think it was a country club. It makes me think that they really, really liked Mike. I still don't think that they worked hard enough, and I don't think that they were detailed enough. They liked him. Congratulations. Good for Mike if you want to be a player's coach with an older veteran team. So I'm not second-guessing anything. Are you, RJ? And you naming the laundry list of A's also diminishes this a little bit.
It does diminish it because there's a lot, because everybody seems to be happy. Look, I don't think the Cowboys work any less hard than any other team in the league. You have limits on what you can do. The league has made it so you get how many padded practices a year? 13 during the season. You want to talk about attention to detail?
Right.
You know, hard work is what? Practice time, study time, it's hard to quantify.
I think the way you practice is, I think he definitely has a more scaled back version than most.
Yeah, I have no idea. We don't get to see any other practice, so I don't know. Maybe he does. Maybe he does. But that wasn't a problem in the 12-5 years.
Right.
I don't think anybody said it was. I mean, all said they thought they gave him good grades for being so appreciative of their time or whatever. I think that's just the thing is that it's a philosophy. I want to save their bodies. I want to make sure they're healthy.
And I don't have a problem with that. You know, my issue with the move is, if you want to get rid of Mike, that's fine. You know, I liked Mike. I thought Mike was a good coach. I wouldn't have gotten rid of him. But it's the same thing with the Luka trade. If you're going to get rid of him, fine. All right. What are you getting? All they got?
You did not get an upgrade on paper. You didn't upgrade.
You got a worse version of the same guy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So what did you really do?
So head coach, 14th out of 32 teams. Speaking of the new guy, Dan Quinn worked with Schottenheimer on a staff?
He did, yeah. Dan Quinn was with, early on, one of his first NFL jobs was he was an assistant, like an entry-level coach with the Jets in 07 and 08. And so did some different work there. And he ended up working with Schottenheimer for those couple years interacting with him.
So, like, entry level, was Brian Schottenheimer higher on the coaching totem pole than Dan Quinn? Because if you look at them, Dan Quinn looks like he could be his father, but Schottenheimer has those freaking 25 years of experience.
Yeah, and I think they're the same age, roughly. Like, they're like maybe a year apart. Yeah, DQ's like 53, I think.
Wow.
But anyway, he was an assistant, got in as a quality control coach, and worked with him. So he got asked yesterday at the podium, Dan Quinn, what do you think about the Brian Schottenheimer hire?
So I actually worked with him years ago at the New York Jets, and it was then that I probably saw, you know, how excellent he was. You know, as both of us probably had a little less chrome and a little more juice on some things, but I knew then that he had rare things about him, and so it was an easy connection. You know, like him going to Georgia, I had just done that at Florida, like so many parallels that I've kept up with him through the years. Then to be, you know, on the same staff with him for 2 years, he helped me a lot, you know, first as, an analyst to help look ahead and find some things. And then also, you know, obviously, and then when he switched back to coaching on offense. So he's going to do a fantastic job. He's got high level coaching, high level, you know, relatability. And when you put those two things together, that's a really rare combination. He's got them both.
I think there's a ton of Dan Quinn-like traits with Schottenheimer that it makes sense that they would try to tap into some of that when they were looking for a new coach. They were trying to replicate a little bit of what they felt like they lost with Quinn.
Now let's see what the Cowboys players said about ownership. Jerry came in with a B grade. That's 18th out of the 32 teams. Jerry's average rating for perceived willingness to invest in the facilities is an 8.6 out of 10. The players feel that ownership slightly contributes to a positive team culture. 23rd ranking out of 32, and the players feel that ownership is committed to building a competitive team, a rank of 25th out of 32. So coming in
at just a little bit.
Coming in at 23 and 25 when it comes to the categories of team winning outside of just facilities.
Man, since this was done, you know, the early part of this was done in August.
And the Cowboys ranked 10th overall out of the 32 teams.
Yeah, so this was done in early August, right? That's when it started. That started in August, right? Early part of the year.
The PA stuff?
It started in August.
Oh, this makes
August
so much more sense if it was August.
August to November, that Dak wasn't signed yet. They were farting around with Dak. Lamb may or may not have been signed based on when this game came out.
Yeah.
So they were messing around with that. That could have really ticked off the locker room. I'm sure it did. So that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, if this was August, though, that's also... That's coming off of the last time they'd come together was they felt like they'd just gotten all their feedback heard about changing the offense that they were able to. So that doesn't surprise me that they would have felt that way at that point.
The Dolphins and Vikings remain the top two teams as they've been for all 3 years.
Two teams.
Miami
wow,
ranked.
Isn't Stephen Ross thought of as like a weirdo?
I don't know. I don't.
I always thought there was like.
Well, ask Brian Flores.
Miami, yeah, that's what it is.
Miami ranked as the top team overall for the second straight year. The Falcons, who were 25th last year, moved to third after opening a new team training facility. The Raiders were fourth, followed by the Chargers, Texans, and 49ers. Dan Quinn and the Commanders jumped from 32 to 11 under Quinn and new ownership. Dan Quinn rated as the top head coach ahead of Raheem Morris. The lowest rated teams were the Cardinals at 32, Patriots at 31, the Browns at 30, Jets 29, Steelers 28, and Jets players sent the loudest message ownership-wise. They gave Woody Johnson an F, the only team in the league to do that.
Ooh,
F.
Yeah. The Commanders, Josh Harris has set the tone. He got 9.24 out of 10 from the players and the willingness to invest in the facilities.
Yes.
Fourth in culture, fourth in building a competitive team.
Yes.
That's tough to hear. That's tough to read.
Well, I want to hone in on this. Go ahead, Bob.
No, I was just going to say, think about how if you just needed an ego stroke as a billionaire, if you just wanted people to love you, easiest move in the world would have been buying the Washington Commanders. Because you could have just done anything, small changes to flip it around, and people would have been like, this God who came in and rescued us.
And that's a perfect segue. So when we talk about culture and changes, let's see what it sounds like inside of NFL team. The NFLPA said, if you've been to the Commanders facility, it's still the same facility. He didn't knock down walls, but he made changes in staffing, changes in what players were asking for. He changed the culture. They improved food services, added a family daycare facility, a huge jump in family services. The travel accommodations dramatically improved. None of these are $50 million investments. They're small investments, but huge change, and kudos to Josh Harris and Dan Quinn.
How did you not have a daycare facility there?
Dude, they wouldn't put changing tables in the stadium for the moms, like for the wives of players who were bringing babies to the game. Like, they refused. They were an absolutely toxic organization. It was easy to just go in there and be a decent human being and get A+.
877-881-1053, the way to hit us up here on DFW Sports Station. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. Bobby also got this audio. Jonathan Gannon, the Cardinals coach, was asked about our new offensive coordinator, the former run game coordinator for the Cardinals, Clayton Adams. Here is Jonathan Gannon with a scouting report on our new OC.
Smart, he's detailed, he knows how to attack defenses, he can communicate to the players, he's passionate, he's going to turn over every stone, works hard, has a really good way about him, you know, and that was a tough piece to lose. I'm excited for Justin Fry, that is, but I was on a plane coming here with Clayton
and it was good to catch up with him. And I know he's already, the questions that he was asking me, he's already on the right path. So he'll do a phenomenal job.
This is what we keep hearing over and over again about him is the, and he said it, that he was like five different words to say the same thing. We're talking about attention to detail, turning over everything, like really drilling down on this. That's what it is. He's very detail heavy and like everything needs to be just done and executed the exact right way. And that's something that they've missed. They've missed that sort of discipline and that attention to detail.
Inside the Star here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. We go commercial free with a little baby ticket giveaway. We're going to have Todd Archer, the agent for Jordan Lewis, Rico Dowdle, and Tank Lawrence. And Mike Florio sits down with us next during the commercial free expressway. And why I wish all of our wives were here instead of traveling with these two. Next on 105.3 The Fan.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The media fight that happened at Starbucks yesterday involving Ian Rappaport. Mike Florio wrote about it. Mike Florio said that did double the traffic of the second highest story on ProFootballTalk.com. And Florio will sit down with us to recap it like schoolgirls at 7:30 here on Sean and RJ, live from the Combine in Indianapolis on 105.3 The Fan. The great Todd Archer, Cowboys insider, at 8:20, and David Cantor always tremendous on radio, sits down with us at 9:40 to talk about his clients, Jordan Lewis, Rico Dowdle, and Tank Lawrence.
That Rappaport fight, you know, he mentioned it was the biggest traffic. He said he posted that with 3 hours left in the day. That was the top traffic for the day, and it blew up. And that's all the nosy people hanging out here in Indianapolis that were up and saw the story. Like, ooh, here's the tea. I want to see what happened here. But, that'll be... That's the kind of tension you get. Rappaport's always getting into it. He was fighting with Jason Lock and Four out here a couple years ago when Lock and Four said, keep my name off your lips. I know you'll remember this.
Dude, Bobby said he tweeted that, and I was like, he didn't tweet something that douchey. And then yeah. Bobby showed he showed me that actual tweet. Say it again, Bobby. He Jason Lock and Four.
Yeah, Lock Confirma, as he's called in the industry, because he doesn't break his own stories. He only confirms other people's. He said, keep my name keep my name off your lips. Remember this. I know you will.
Remember this.
I know you will.
Yeah, I know you will.
I remember.
Fantastic. You know what? We're in a fantastic mood. We got an extra hour of sleep. Let's hook you up for Turning It On, Leaving On right now.
Right at bat, Turbo.
You can get the biggest.
All right, Turbos, that's right. Right now, caller number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets. The Little Baby at the American Airlines Center in Dallas on June 5th. That's caller number 10 at 877-881-1053.
All these media people walking in, seeing three white dudes bobbing their head for no reason. Look at
the stank face on.
The great Dane Brugler. Showing his face. He said, I never thought I'd see the day. Dame Brugler showing up here on DFW Sports Station 105.3. The Fan. Oh, man. The Brian brought us FOMO. Walchuk hit me up yesterday. He's like, tell me how it is. Tell me how it is out there, please.
Yeah, they're both thirsty. They're very thirsty right now. And Walchuk hasn't had the news broken to him yet that he's not getting a swap next year, as RJ Choppy confirmed this morning.
Oh, you decided you're not going to trade with G-Bag and go watch your beloved baseball in Arizona?
Look, I love baseball, but I can't have my day end at 5 o'clock. It's too late.
Yeah, you're being a clock snob out here.
I don't even like this. I'd rather get up earlier and get done earlier because like my whole day is thrown off now. Dinner's still at the same time. As always, I just have an hour less to get everything accomplished. You know, after the show, we got to come back. We're coming back here. We got, you know, we're gonna do some. You know,
did you not
the interviews?
Did you not love it? Like you got to, you no problem waking up this morning. You got to sit and leisurely eat breakfast and then roll in here and have plenty of time before the show. So
it was incredible.
It was incredible.
This idiot wants to wake up earlier, 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, but you know now, look, I gotta get my fitness in. What am I gonna do after the show?
All right,
I got an hour less.
Let's talk about traveling with you idiots. It takes a lot. This is supposed to be guy time and escape. We're hitting the bars. We're catching up and all this. But traveling with you two, it's like you guys are bonding on this trip, and unfortunately, it's over the wrong thing.
High five. Yeah, knuckleballs.
Timing. Yesterday, well, first off, Bobby has already scatterbrained himself. And look at his setup here. Bobby has no computer.
That's old school, man. Why? That is old school.
Old school? No,
that is old school.
It's dumb school. It's no school. Yep. Why?
Because when I was packing up my stuff yesterday, leaving the station to go to the airport, I didn't bring my charger for the laptop. So I don't have power for my laptop.
Since Bobby is the last
And Kristen
person.
Is driving up to the station this morning to pick it up. So Peyton, you're going to have to let her in so that she can then overnight it to me.
Overnight it, and we leave tomorrow.
I'm here through Sunday. I need that laptop.
Bobby's the last person who doesn't have an Apple computer. So he's got one of those charging ports that's got the big giant brick in the middle
AC
of it.
The AC charger. Yeah.
Weighs 11 pounds.
He's computerless, basically, because he forgot his charger. But then we land yesterday. I'm raring to go. I've done my work on the airplane. We're sitting there 2 hours. I'm like, all right, here we go. The show's 90% done. Let's go.
I don't know how you got it all done.
I'm a beast.
That was quick.
What do you mean? Yeah, I was sitting there. I don't have to have DM conversations. I don't text on the plane. I do the work on the plane. You usually get all yours done, too. I was disappointed.
I needed more time. The internet's a little slow.
Yeah. So we land. I say, all right, let's figure out the hot spots, and let's go. Let's go get some drinks. Show's done. Everyone says you got to go to this one bar where everyone's hanging out. Everyone. I said, all right. Let's go back. Let's take an hour. We're guys. It'll take 20 minutes to get ready, 30 minutes to do your prep, leftover. We meet downstairs at 6 o'clock. Our reservation's at 7:30. We can go, go to this place where everyone apparently is. I want to have my head on a swivel. I want to see Mina Kimes and Tom Pelissero and Dane Brugler and David Hellman. I want to see the who's who. I want to see, you know, general managers and coaches out and about. 5:53 p.m., Bobby Belt texts, getting in the shower. Okay, you're screwing up the time. 6:05, 6:06, 6:07. Bobby's like, all right, where is everyone? I'm downstairs. All right, I'm dressed. I've been ready to go. I go downstairs. There's no RJ Choppy now. It's like hurtling cats. It really is. Bobby's in the lobby. RJ says, I can't believe this was your first bathroom experience since the colonoscopy.
Yeah, so, you know, I, about 5:47, I put the computer away. I was like, I got to send my email. So that gave me 13 minutes. I had to go to the bathroom earlier today. I went to go to the bathroom at that Love Field. But because, you know, that airport is the size of a strip mall, they had two stalls, and there was a line.
Two stalls.
And I was like, all right, I can't go there. So I held this thing in all day. I hadn't gone. They told me after the colonoscopy, you probably won't go for a couple days. They didn't tell me that would be the most... I don't even want to describe what it was. I was not prepared for that. So... let's just say I had to get in the shower immediately after.
You took a shower?
I had to. And I have baby wipes with me. I bring baby wipes everywhere I go. That was the most uncomfortable bathroom bowel movement of my entire life. It took longer than I expected, and the cleanup was not what it needed to be.
Here's what RJ wrote. I'm pooping, and it's my first one since the colonoscopy, and it could not be going worse. I'm in the bathroom. It could not be going worse. That was a 5:54.
Yeah.
Okay? So you have butchered my pregame spot.
Yeah.
I'm not making it on over to High Velocity or Breaking Ball, whatever the hell the place is called. I'm dressing. Be down in a second from RJ. It's 6:12. 6:12. I was clamoring for my wife, for the women to be here. They're supposed to be the ones late.
I had to shave, too.
They're supposed to be the problems. And you two screw everything up.
I want to be clear. I was the first one downstairs, even before you.
Yeah.
I'll
take the blame on this one. But, you know, the post-colonoscopy bowel movement, like I said...
Mike,
that was a problem yesterday.
Mike Florio just about to walk away after he heard that, and of course
nobody warned me. They should have warned me that it was gonna, you know, be more difficult than normal.
Mike, you've had to have had a colonoscopy by now.
I have had.
Let's get this John
microphone.
There we go.
Sorry.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Hello, sir.
First of all, what a conversation to start the show with. I walk up to the table and I'm hearing about post-colonoscopy bowel movements. I had my first one in 2011 because I had a positive on a hemocult test where there's some smearing involved on a card, which was not nearly as complicated as a colonoscopy. But I have Crohn's disease, so I have one every third year now, sometimes every other year, so... I'm a big advocate of doing it because many types of cancer, they worry about curing cancer, and they have made great strides in extending lifespan and curing types of cancer. But there are certain types that are completely and totally preventable. And colon cancer begins as a polyp that eventually morphs into a tumor. And if you spot that polyp and you get it out of there, it never becomes a tumor. You never get cancer. So it's not that big of a deal. I've never had a problematic post-colonoscopy bowel movement. It's not that big of a deal. It's a hell of a sleep. Like,
oh, yeah.
I know I've done it so many times now. Like, when you're there and they put they turn the stuff on, it's like, and I remember every time you're in the bed and it's like, you know what? All of a sudden I'm going to wake up and it's going to be over. I'm going to wake up and it's going to be over. And then, boom, you wake up and it's over.
Yeah.
I remember none of it. I don't know if you're, like, you're maybe kind of awake, but I remember none of it until I wake up in the room. It can save your life, and it's really not as bad, and the prep isn't that bad either.
That's what Tim Collins, our APD, said about the anesthesia. Remember we talked to him about it the other day? He said that 5 seconds when you start feeling it kick in just before you get knocked out, he's like, that's the most peaceful five seconds
exactly.
You've ever felt.
Really was. Yes, you feel like the world slows down, they're playing music, and you feel calm, and like everything's going to be fine.
Just floating.
And either you die or you wake up.
Yeah, either one.
He wakes me up. What are you guys doing here? Why are you here?
Because.
Like, hey, you've never been here before.
No. Bobby talked our bosses into it because Bobby comes and he goes, this is the place to be. Well, hey, give us an intro. Give us a welcome to the NFL Combine Tour.
No, I want to have this conversation first. If you guys can afford to come here, you can afford to start paying me again to do this show.
I would love to pay you. I would love to. Mike Flory, Gavin Spittle is listening.
We got father of mind at number
Gavin.
One.
Gavin!
We're only here for 2 days, Michael.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's not go crazy with, look.
It's not even a full 48
hours.
The
sign back there, we can't even spell our company right.
Audacity.
It says Audacity, Washington, D.C.
Wow, that's amazing.
Not Odyssey, so don't give us too much credit yet. Mike,
have you guys been to Starbucks? Were you at Starbucks?
No.
Anything going down there today?
The one in the Geriot? No, not yet.
Yeah. What the hell happened? I'm going to sleep yesterday. I'm trying to catch up on last-second headlines. I see Abdul Carter has a stress fracture, and there's a fight at Starbucks.
Well, it wasn't a fight. I was at dinner, and I got a text from someone just as we were standing up. Somebody texted me a tweet from PFT commenter, otherwise known as Eric Sullenberger of Barstool, And it said there was a big-time media something at Starbucks, and I knew right away what it was because there's been some heat between Ian Rappaport of NFL Media and Jordan Schultz of Fox recently with some reporting and counter-reporting on whether or not Tom Brady, the Raiders' minority owner, hosted Matthew Stafford, the Rams' quarterback, in Montana. Rappaport threw water, as the case may be, on the
decaf
on the report, and then Schultz doubled down. So I knew there was a catalyst there, but there's been lingering animosity between the two. I've heard enough chatter over the years to know that there's something going on between the two of them. So the way we reported it, the way I heard it, and I got quotes from Schultz. I've spoken to witnesses to the incident from the Rappaport's perspective. He's there talking to an agent. In comes Schultz and just accosts him verbally, gets in his face and says, Schultz says he doesn't remember using profanity. I'm told that there were multiple profanities, but basically if you keep talking about me, we're going to have a problem. Rappaport asked him to step back because he was right in his face, apparently, and he stepped back in. And Rappaport, like, so most people assume that anyone who covers the NFL is 5'2".
Yeah.
Because some of us are.
Yeah.
You guys can vouch that I'm not.
Yes.
Right?
Tom Pelissero is.
Not that that's an issue. Not that that matters. Like, it's like, it's funny that people are so obsessed with height. But I'm not 5'2". And the problem is, Rappaport is not, it's a problem, but when you're talking about a face-to-face.
It's not a face-to-face.
Because Schultz is 6'3". And Rappaport is what, 5'6"?
Gosh, is he
6'3"?
Yeah. 6'3"?
So one of the two felt intimidated, and there was a concern it was going to turn physical. So a report was made to NFL security, who has interviewed and gotten statements. And
NFL security?
The NFL's got no jurisdiction over Schultz from an employment standpoint beyond the ability to call up Fox and say, we're pissed about your guy accosting one of our employees. They could deny him credentials to things, but there's really nothing they can do about it.
You mentioned that word accost. What is the legal definition of accost?
That's like, is that the legal version of like a lower body injury?
No.
It's very vague.
No, it's accost means you could, because I looked it up before I used it. You basically go up and get in someone's face. You get up and get someone. He got up and he got in his face and I guess he yelled at him.
So
and
this
he said
is the
some
number,
bad words.
This is the number
although
one's...
he denies it. It's amazing. It's a, because
on
I was telling my wife last night, and it's hard for me to not use profanity here because we were just using profanity on our show for an hour and a half. But she's like, why does anybody care about this? It's like, you don't understand. Everything here is so lather, rinse, repeat. Abdul Carter's got a stress fracture. Oh, you know, every year it's a guy, not to downplay it because it's a serious situation for him, but every year it's some sort of like, but every 5 or 6 years you get something that pops beyond the usual stuff. And you've brought everybody together. They're all compressed in this city. And you hope for some crazy thing to happen. There was a time, we finally remember this, Reuben Foster, when he was coming from Alabama to the NFL, he got sent home from the combine because he had a heated altercation with a healthcare worker when he was getting one of his physicals done. So those things happen. They don't happen very often. And we got ours this year. And I am both proud of and ashamed by the fact that I was in the middle of it.
I know, because we all thought it was going to like be you and Schefter like it is every other month.
No, we're fine now. We're fine now. I know life's more fun. Life's more fun when you've got a little heat, you got a little animosity, but we're okay for now.
Here's what I want to know. Mike Flory, Pro Football Talk, Football Night in America. Jordan Schultz's father
owns Starbucks.
He was the CEO of Starbucks. He isn't any longer, but he was the CEO at the time when it went from being tiny little regional thing into worldwide behemoth.
Does Jordan Schultz just, like, walk in there and, like, you know, like, how does that
work?
Can
he use the bathroom without ordering something?
I wonder if he's just got, like,
a card?
Secret Starbucks black card where he gets free coffee, like Kramer, free coffee for life.
Yes, yes. I love it. It's Jack fantastic. Mike Florio here on 105.3.
Outrageous.
Is this going to cost Abdul Carter going one?
Well, it depends upon who ultimately has the number one overall pick and whether and to what extent they're troubled by it. I'm sure he's going to do the surgery. Like, the choice is let it ride and hope it'll be fine or get it fixed. There's always a chance if you get something fixed, there's going to be a complication, there's going to be an issue. You make sure you go to the best possible people to get it done and have it taken care of. But they get so obsessed over every little thing. Remember when Montez Sweat was coming out in 2019, he had a heart issue, and it was no big deal, and he still went in the first round. But there were teams that were saying, we can never use a first-round pick on a guy that's got that issue. So Sims tells a story about he had a dislocated ring finger a couple of times when he was at Texas, and it was no big deal, and it never bothered him again. But they flagged it, and we needed to have further evaluation. So, yeah, it depends on whether – it's the Titans or someone else with that first overall pick, and it depends on how risk-averse that team is to this question and this issue. I did hear yesterday, and you hear all sorts of stuff, and I don't like to traffic in stuff I've heard because I don't know how accurate it is, but I did have somebody tell me that the Cowboys have talked to the Titans about moving up to number one. Now, I think a lot of teams talk about moving around, and I don't know if you guys have heard that. But, yeah, that's a jump, and I don't know what you would have to put into that or whether you'd have to put Micah Parsons into that package if it would go that way. But teams talk all the time. Like, I never get too moved by team talk. They talk all the time. When the report came out a couple of weeks ago that the Steelers called the Jaguars about Trevor Lawrence, I thought, well, yeah, they're looking for a starting quarterback. They're calling around to just see what the market will be. General managers talk to other general managers all the time. And you get, maybe you're thinking about moving to five, so you want to see what it's going to take to get to number one. So you can say to the team that's got number five, this is what number one wants. So there's always different explanations for why a team would even do it, assuming it happened. But I did hear, haven't reported, haven't verified that there was a conversation.
Was a name attached to who they would go to one for?
No.
So how do you network and socialize out here? You're not going to be raging in the bars and all that stuff, right?
Well, no, I don't think that's productive because I have to be over here every morning at 6:30 and I don't want to be hungover or still drunk, as the case may be. And
that was my first question to you. I was like, were you buzzed last night writing that recap?
No, went to dinner and had two drinks. I try to have two drinks at dinner. I go back and I work until it's time to go to bed and get up here and do it again. For us, the main thing is getting access to general managers and coaches on Tuesday. We had 20 interviews of GMs and coaches on Tuesday, including the two Super Bowl head coaches and one of the two Super Bowl general managers, Howie Roseman. Then yesterday we did 15 interviews of the edge rusher, defensive tackle, and linebacker, off-ball linebacker prospects. I'll go back over there once we're done. We're going to have safeties, tight ends, and corners come in, and we'll talk to a bunch of them today. Tomorrow's quarterbacks, running backs, and receivers. It gives us a way to meet these guys on the way in. It gives them a way to introduce themselves to a broader audience on the way in. You know, most of them want to do it. We got a big set over there, and it's funny. One of the guys was on with Sirius, and he said to the handler from the NFL, hey, do I get to go over to the big set?
I know.
So it's a good chance for them to get to, you know, to talk and sell themselves, and you know, a fan base out there is going to be rooting for this guy and buying his jersey. It gives those people who eventually are going to say, that's my guy, hey, I feel like I already know him.
Will you go, like, post up for the workouts today?
I don't care about the workouts. I think the workouts are just made for TV. I don't think they mean a damn thing. They just do them because they have everybody here, and somebody got the bright idea that we could do this and put it on TV. They didn't just do it so they could put it on TV. They did it because everybody was here, because medical is the thing that drives this whole show. Bring everyone together for one X-ray, one MRI, one CAT scan, one whatever, instead of, you know, you're going to be glowing like the Incredible Hulk if you send these guys to every team and they get the same procedure done at every team. So it's efficient, it's cheaper, and they started doing the workouts, 40 years ago, and then they realized, let's put them on TV and act like they're real. They're not real. It's not football. And anytime somebody says to one of these players, oh, are you going to compete? It's not a competition.
It's not a competition. It's a business proposition, and you have to make a good business decision. Is it in your best interest to do all the workouts? Should you not do some? Should you do this one? Should you not do that one? Should you not even submit to any of the medical stuff? Caleb Williams refused to submit to the medical stuff last year. He said, I'll do medical at the teams that I visit, and I'm only going to visit with the teams that I think I'm going to end up with. And I think at the end of the day, he only went to Chicago, I think.
Is that, like, so, you know, you say you don't necessarily care about him. Do you think deep down the teams don't necessarily either, even care about these workouts?
Well, I think
because they're going to go to pro days anyway.
They go to pro days anyway, but this is the one place where it's truly apples to apples. Like the 40-yard dash here, it's one track, one day, one time, and you don't have to worry about, is he running on a faster surface on his pro day? Who's timing the pro day workout? Do I trust that it's an accurate number? This is everyone here. But here's a reason for a quarterback, for example, not to throw here. You don't know these receivers. You never worked with them before. You don't know how he runs an out route. You don't know how he runs a dig route. You don't. And so if the ball isn't caught, oh, whose fault is it? Is it his fault? Is it your fault? So it just adds different elements into it. And if you've already, like, I am longing for the day that a player says, I ain't doing jack diddly squat. I've done my work. My film speaks for me. If you want to draft me based upon my film, do it. If you don't, one of your competitors will. And I know guys are obsessed with being drafted as high as possible because you get more money the higher you're drafted. I'd rather be drafted by the right team, and I'd want a team that gets it, that can look at this and say, I don't need to see him running around in his underwear to know that he's a good player.
Mike Florio here during the commercial-free expressway, 105.3 The Fan. Are you more interested in the overtime rules changing to represent what we get in the playoffs or the chain gang going away?
Well, I'm fine with the chain gang going away as long as the football gets digitized. The chain gang going away is a half measure, and as Mike Ehrmantraut told us in Breaking Bad, no half measures. You need to have the ball fully digital, so when you have a scrum of bodies, this goes back to the Bills-Chiefs AFC Championship, fourth and short, Josh Allen, it looks like he gets there, so you've got the chain that is the chain. The chain's the chain. Right, so the chain's going to be replaced with something that is going to be static and it's going to be digital. But if you don't have something digital to mark the ball, you've got an official on one side, an official on the other. They get their own spot, and if you go back and watch it, you can see it. They get their spot, and they trot to the middle of the field on their spot. One guy has a spot that would have been first down Bills. The other guy has a spot that is first down Chiefs. And it's somewhere before they meet in the middle. The guy who had first down Bills deferred to the guy who had first down Chiefs. And it's this weird mating dance. It's just like who decides who defers, who cries uncle. And that's – so I like the idea, but they're only halfway there. And the whole shrinking overtime from 15 to 10 minutes, it was a direct result of the fact that the Buccaneers played – a deep into the overtime period game on a Sunday against the Raiders and then had to turn around and play the Falcons on Thursday night, and they were still gassed. I think now that everyone has accepted short week football is here to stay, they don't need to play this game of, oh, we better only have 10 minutes of overtime in case somebody who plays on Sunday is playing on Thursday and they might be more fatigued than they would be. They just don't care. They do not care about guys being fatigued between Sunday and Thursday, whether they play 60 minutes or 75.
But getting the matching possession makes sense. Like, you just win the coin toss, you go down and score the touchdown game.
Oh, it's more fair. But the rules for the regular season are the rules. And coaches have always harped on, we want the same rules for the regular season and the same rules for the postseason. Right. There's a lot of different strategic things that come into play, like what we saw in Super Bowl 58. Do you kick off or do you take the ball? When you know you're guaranteed a possession after the first team drives down and potentially scores a touchdown. It's no longer a walk-off. You still get a chance to match it.
The tush-push, will it and should it be banned?
You know, until the Starbucks fracas between Jordan Schultz and Ian Rappaport, the biggest story of the week was the proposal by one team and one team only to get rid of the tush-push. But it helped fill the vacuum, and it gave us all something to talk about. But we have the Packers, one team that has made the proposal. No one that we've talked to is on board with it. Sean McDermott, we're going to interview him, the Bills head coach, later today. He
is on the competition committee, and he has raised safety concerns about it. And his team is one of the two, the Eagles and the Bills, that use it extensively. And they have like an 87% success rate. They've used it 163 times over the last 3 years, combined, more than the rest of the league put together.
Wow.
That's how often they've used it. So if he's raising safety concerns, I'm interested to know what they are and how legitimate that is. I just hope it's not a sour grapes thing, because everybody knows it works. You go out and you get left guard, right guard, center that are big human being badasses. You work on the fundamentals. And if you do it right, you take the first and 10 and you shrink it to first and 8. Yeah. If you can do it well. I don't know why more teams aren't doing it. The Eagles have cracked the code. The Bills, it helps to have Josh Allen. But it's a hell of a cheat code that's not cheating. And I don't think it's going to go away. I don't think you're going to find 24 owners that say we're going to make this rule go away.
You know, the combine, and you've kind of referred to it, just all the stuff that gets, you know, whispered about out here. But it's the biggest platform probably for gossip in the NFL in one collection. What is the biggest thing that, or the most consistent thing you've heard out here this week that stands out to you as either somewhere the league's going or something you expect to happen this offseason just because of how much buzz has been around it?
Well, this whole Aaron Rodgers thing, I mean, I think there's a possibility he's not going to have any takers, well, just like Bill Belichick last year. Because I heard yesterday, and again, I don't like to do the I heard this, I heard that, because you hear all sorts of stuff, and sure, some of it's true and some of it's not. The way I heard this, though, I believe it, that Rodgers has reached out to the Giants. And if Rodgers is reaching out to the Giants, that means Rodgers isn't getting interest from better teams, because obviously the Giants do not objectively fall into the contender category where they are right now. And Rodgers has said he's got two factors. The team has to want him, which is fairly obvious, but it's got to be a good team. And the Giants are not good right now. They're just not. They have a lot of work to do. But if he's calling them, that means he's not getting the interest from the Steelers, who are a contender. Like, people are like, how are you called the Steelers a contender? They've been in the playoffs the last 3 years. They're a contender. And they're better if they get Aaron Rodgers, because he's better than Russell Wilson or Justin Fields right now. So I what happens with Rodgers is fascinating to me. We've yet to hear of a team that is interested in him. There has not been a, hey, sources say Team X is interested in Aaron Rodgers. It might be he is just shut out, even though he wants to keep playing.
Why don't the Rams want Stafford?
They want him, but they don't want to pay him what he wants. You know, he's due to make $27 million this year on a contract that averages $40 million per year. Dak's making $60
million. Ugh.
And I think the real sticking point is Jared Goff's making $53 million. So Jared Goff, the guy that the Rams attached a first-round pick to get him into the Matthew Stafford trade package, because it was Stafford for Goff, 2 ones and a 3. That means they gave up a 1 and a 3 for Stafford and a 1 to get Goff's contract off the books. That guy's now making $53 million. And I'm at 40 with cash flow of 27 this year. I want more. And whatever he wants, the Rams aren't there. Sean McVay essentially explained it that way to Ryan Fitzpatrick and Andrew Whitworth earlier this week. So they let his agent go talk to other teams so they can see what other teams will pay him. Where it got interesting, and this was the root of the Rappaport-Schultz thing, when you come out and say that Tom Brady hosted Matthew Stafford in Montana
on a ski trip,
that's potentially tampering. I mean, unless the Rams said to Stafford, you have full permission to go visit with teams, talk to coaches, talk to owners. I mean, because it's one thing to say your agent can test the waters financially. It's another thing to say you can go get recruited by Tom Brady to be the quarterback of the Raiders. I don't think the Rams gave that permission. And I've asked the Rams. Man, they
what's
haven't
the difference?
Told me yet.
It's Who
a
cares?
Huge difference. It's a huge difference because it's just numbers on paper. It's not, yeah, because the Raiders aren't good right now. But if you go to Brady's house and Brady's sitting across from him saying, look, I can tell you why we're going to be competitive. Pete Carroll's a great head coach. Let me tell you about Super Bowl 49. Let me tell you about what happened in Super Bowl 49. Let me tell you what he did. Look at what he does. He got a 6th-round guy in Cam Chancellor and turned him into an All-Pro. He got a 5th-round guy in Richard Sherman and turned him into an All-Pro. He's going to do the same effing thing here. That's a harder sell face-to-face with Stafford, and plants the seed that he wants to go play for the Raiders. That's far different from his agent saying, hey, what would you pay Matthew Stafford and what would you trade the Raiders for him? That's more antiseptic. That's more sanitized. This gets dirty, and it can poison Stafford against the Rams. That's why I don't think the Rams wanted it.
Do the team report cards matter, and what jumped out the most to you?
Here's why they matter. They matter because it is the one way for the players to hold owners accountable. It's the one way for anybody to hold owners accountable as a practical matter, because the only way to do it is to boycott. So you have to deprive yourself, as a fan, you have to deprive yourself of the thing you love. I'm not going to go to games. I'm not going to watch on TV. I'm going to show Jerry. We're sick of this crap. You're just trying to make money. You're really not trying to go get smiles and glory hole. You want to make as much money as you can off of us, right?
Talk about us with colonoscopy talk.
Well, but that's his line. That's what he equates winning to. He's been saying it for years now, even though he's been told many times
that's not
what that word means. But the fact that there's never going to be a mass boycott, there's never going to be enough to move the needle. The way to do it is you have the players with a voice, and they have power, and the owners don't like it. Like Art Rooney, the Steelers owner, who got an F this year. Last year he said, oh, this is just a media tool because they give it to the media. They don't give it to us privately. Yeah, they give it to the media because it works. It's effective. It's a way to shine a light where a light needs to shine. I love it. I love it. And, you know, the one other comment I'll make, like the Dolphins are the best at an A. Like, I don't know that you want to be an A. Like, you want your players to be a little uncomfortable.
Everyone got an A as a coach. But, McCarthy got an A.
But I think the players are concerned that the coaches are going to see it. But I don't think you want a team to be an A because, like, you want the players to maybe be B plus. You want to be a little pissed off.
Let's increase some book sales in DFW. What do you
have going on? Father of mine, son of mine, on our way home. All the ebooks are still 99 cents on Amazon. You can find nothing for 99 cents. You will get value for I guarantee you, for 99 cents, you'll get value. And I've been telling people lately, if you really buy it and you don't like it and you want your 99 cents, I'll mail you a freaking dollar. If you truly are going to say with a straight face, that book sucked and it's not worth my 99 cents, I'll send you the damn dollar. But you can get them all on Amazon for 99 cents. More are coming. We got some other stuff going on that I'm not going to jinx by talking about it. But this little hobby that I've been dealing with for 5 years now, it's a nice way to balance out everything else I do. We got some stuff that the wheels are in motion for some interesting things. I'll just say that.
Top Gene Hackman moment.
Boy, I always loved Hoosiers, but he was in so many things. He was in so many things. Like, he was a great Lex Luthor in some very bad Superman movies. Like he was like the best actor in the original Superman movie. I thought he was great in that. He's been in so many different things. And I just saw that it happened, and it was weird. I thought he died because, like, he was 95, but it was him and his wife and his dog.
Something's going on.
Does the cat have an alibi? That's what I want to
know. Father of mine, that's your next book.
The Animal. Yeah, that's the title of the next book. Does the cat have an alibi?
That's pretty good.
The great Mike Florio sitting down with us at the NFL Combine.
Get your colonoscopies.
105.3 The Fan. Thank you, man. We love you. Florio crushing it as always. Pro Football Talk and Football Night in America. He's got the guest list with PFT live along with Chris Sims and all the book sales being bought up in the Metroplex. The Luca smear campaign continues. How living in a hotel is making him even more bitter. That's next. And then Todd Archer, Cowboys Insider on The Fan.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.